Everybody got a scripture if you want one? Okay. Would somebody pray for our time in the Word of God?
I'll pray.
Thank you.
Lord, we're glad to come now to the time when we learn, we're excited about learning more about what you taught at the Sermon on the Mount, and we pray that you will be with Mike as he has prepared for this. But we pray that your Spirit will fill him and lead him as he shares the Word with us, and just we pray that you would speak to us specifically about what you want us to learn, what you want us to do. If there's somebody that we need to tell, I pray that we'd hear your voice. So we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Richard. We're in Matthew chapter 5. So you can turn there if you've got a Bible. Christianity is backwards from Earth. Just think for a moment. The greatest is the servant of all. When I am weak, then I am strong. That's Paul. The last are first, and the first are last. And if you want to gain your life, you have to lose it. But if you lose your life for Christ's sake, you gain it. You live by dying to self. You rejoice in your sufferings. And you respond very differently to evil. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Now, that is backward from Earth, isn't it? That fits Christianity. Because Christianity is backwards. Now, this is the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. We're kind of jumping in the middle of his sermon here when he says these words. And Jesus is talking about, if I could put it this way, life in the kingdom of God. This is what life looks like when the kingdom of God grabs a hold of you. It's different. And he's also been talking about the law. Remember, he said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, not one dot shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." And then he says, "You have heard that it was said, do not murder, the law. But I say to you, if anyone is angry with his brother, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, that's the law. But I say to you, if a man looks at a woman with lustful intent, you have heard that it was said, if a man wants to divorce his wife, but I say to you," he quotes the Deuteronomy 24 in there. "Last week, you have heard that it was said, you are to keep your vows that you vow to the Lord," from Numbers 30. "But I say to you, today you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you," we're in the law. This eye for eye and tooth for tooth is found actually in a lot of places in the law. It's in Exodus, it's in Leviticus, it's in Deuteronomy. You see it a lot, this principle that we have. today, when we look at that, people will talk about that principle, the eye for eye, tooth for tooth, in the Bible, as a way of saying that the Bible is cruel. I mean, that's cruel punishment. But actually, in its day, when Moses wrote that, it was actually kind. Because in that day, if someone took out your eye, often you would go kill them. And what this did was set a limit to what you could do for a crime. If I took out your eye, you might come kill me. But eye for eye, tooth for tooth said, you can't kill him. You can't do more to him than he did to you. That was the principle that Moses laid down. There's a limit to what you could punish. Now, the law that was eye for eye, tooth for tooth, dealt with more than eyes and teeth. If I killed your ox, I could lose my ox. If I destroyed your house, it might cost me my house. It was a principle that was applied in life to all sorts of different kinds of situations, and it set a limit to what you could punish somebody. That's the purpose of the law. And if you were the victim of the law, you could demand as much as the law allowed. The victim could, if I took out your eye, the victim could demand legally that the law take your eye. But Jesus then says, verse 39, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. He then gives four examples. The whole principle is, do not resist the one who is evil. That's really the theme of this whole section. Then he just gives four examples. For example, if anyone would strike you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. For example, if anyone would sue you to take away your tunic, give him your cloak as well. Or if someone would force you to go with him 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now, we look at this today, what Jesus is saying. We look at this, and isn't there kind of a sense in which you think inside yourself, this is crazy? Right? There's something inside us that just says that. And so part of you is saying, Jesus says, someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. There's a part of you inside that says, yeah, right. And there's another part of you inside that reads this and says, whoa, this is something special. And you see both of those, right? Both of those are natural reactions that just come up from the inside of you. At the same time, you hold both of those. In our minds, when we read this, we jump between, this is just not the real world, and this is special. And you know why? It's because this is the kingdom of God. That's why. And the kingdom of God is not of this world. And the kingdom of God is something special. That's why those reactions just naturally come up inside us. Because actually, both of those things are true. Now, this also addresses, Jesus is talking about where you live. Because he's talking about people who do wrong to you. And, okay, if you've never had someone do wrong to you, raise your hand. I see no hands. He's talking about life. This is real life, guys. This is, you've had an aunt cheat you, a father left you, a business partner swindled you. Someone took you to court for something you did not do. This happens all the time. This is part of life. And so Jesus is dealing with life. And Jesus says, treat the person who mistreated you with kindness. He's saying, don't retaliate. Be kind. Now, when we read this, often what we want to do is kind of wiggle out of it. We don't want Jesus to say this. We want Jesus to say this when we're not in the situation where someone has done something wrong to us. When we just look at it, we say, wow, that's really neat. But when someone wrongs us, we don't say that. We want out of it. Because we want to fight back, right? Sometimes we look at the scriptures, and not just this scripture. We'll take this scripture and look at all of the scriptures, because there's, you know, the scriptures have a lot to say on how to react in situations where people are doing evil to other people. And so we'll look at this scripture and look at other scriptures, and we will find all these exceptions and qualifications and that Jesus' words sort of lose their force in the midst of all of our exceptions. And so, for example, sometimes we're so focused on what Jesus is not saying here that we miss what he is saying here. We're so focused sometimes, and we'll say, well, Jesus is not saying that he's not talking about a government and armies and a police force and blah, 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 blah. So he's not talking about that, and that becomes our focus. Okay, so that's not what he's not talking about. Or we say, but then Jesus himself, when he confronts the Pharisees, he says things like, woe to you, Pharisees, hypocrites, you blind guides, your whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Let me ask you a question. Does that sound like Jesus is turning the other cheek? And so we look at that and say, well, Jesus is, he's not talking. And I will say, Jesus is not talking. Jesus doesn't say, if somebody strikes your wife on her cheek, turn to him yours also. And then we'll get all these different situations that can happen in life, and we'll say, he's not saying this, and he's not saying this. And then we're so focused on that we miss what he's saying. We need to hear what Jesus is saying. And not just talk about what he's not saying. When he says, do not resist an evil man, he means it. I really think he means it. This is the kingdom of God. Let me give you an example. Were you not an enemy of God at one point? And what did he do? He died for you. Isn't that this principle lived out? Isn't that the kingdom of God? When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, when he says, give to the one who would take from you, when he says go the second mile, that's part of the fabric of the gospel. That's tied up in the gospel. That is exactly what Jesus has done for you. And Jesus is simply saying that we should do what he did. That's all he's saying. That's the kingdom of God lived out. And if we say, well, this isn't the real world, then what we're saying is the gospel isn't the real world. And I don't believe that. The gospel is the kingdom of God come to earth. And so is this. Now, when I say this, I'm not trying to tell you this is easy. So don't think, well, Mike, man, Mike can talk. Mike can't talk. I have said many times, following Jesus is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. And it is. There's nothing harder. It is the biggest challenge you will ever have, because he's going to call you to die. And you don't want to die. Trust me, I know that from experience. I don't want it. And you don't either. And so I will be the first to tell you that this principle that Jesus is talking about retaliating and treating an evil person with kindness, I'm no good at this. I want to fight back. It just is natural in me to want to do that. And I'm sure my family will confirm that. But fighting back is not what Jesus calls me to. And so what I want to preach is what Jesus calls me to, because that's what the Word of God says, and not necessarily what I actually do. Because sometimes there's a difference there between how I live and how Jesus calls me to live. Now, you've had this. You've had people. Maybe they attack you with their words. Maybe it's your mom, a neighbor, a friend, your roommate, whoever, and they come at you. They want to bite your head off with their words. How do you react when that happens? I'm going to show them. Is that how you react? And you want to bite their head off back? I mean, with me, that's what just comes up. I want to bite back. But let me ask you a question. When you bite back, I know the answer from my life. I'm just going to ask this, though. When you bite back, how do things turn out? Does it turn out better or worse? And you know the answer to the question. I've messed some relationships up by fighting back. And I didn't start it, but I didn't stop it either. I mean, personally, I don't like people to criticize me, to misunderstand me, to think my motives are this, when I know very well that those are not my motives. To do wrong to me, I don't like that. And you know what? You don't either. But I believe God calls us to live with it. And in one sense, be okay with that. I mean, Jesus was misunderstood. Jesus was attacked. And Jesus had to take it. We have to be okay on some level being wronged, because we have God. I mean, God is our protector. God is our trust. In Christ, we have peace. In Christ, we are content. We, as believers, are united in Christ. That's why he calls us to give as he gave. That's why he calls us to return kindness for evil. Now, what Jesus is commanding here is not some kind of weakness. There are people who read this and say, oh, Christians are so weak, you slap them and they just lie down. That's weakness. Actually, this is strength. In fact, which shows the greatest strength of character? To fight back with your fists or to fight back with your prayers? Who's strong there? Who's really strong and who's really weak? Which is harder? To complain about being forced to pay an unjust fine or to joyfully pay it? And when you do so, people see that the injustice does not take away your joy. Your joy is somewhere else. Here in America, this business of not resisting the evil person and the strength that shows, I believe, is something that at least Americans can learn from many of our African American brothers and sisters who have had to endure here in America much of that historically in history. I think of the baseball player, Jackie Robinson, famous baseball player here in America. It's the 1940s, and there was a general manager for the Brooklyn Dodgers baseball team. The manager's name was Branch Rickey. He was a very strong Christian, Branch Rickey was. And he very much wanted to break the color barrier in baseball, Major League Baseball. In the 1940s, Major League Baseball was all white. There were very good black players, but they were not allowed to play at the highest level, major leagues. But Branch Rickey wanted to put an end to that. And in order to do that, he knew he needed the right person. He couldn't just bring in any black player to this situation. He knew that. Because he knew that whoever he brought in, that player was going to get hit, spit on, insulted, and all kinds of things would happen to him. And Rickey said this. This is a quote. This is what Branch Rickey said. He said, "I'm looking for a ball player with guts enough not to fight back." That's what he said. And he looked at a lot of men and turned down. He did not try a lot of men. He eventually found his man, and his name was Jackie Robinson. And Robinson endured scorn that many of us would never endure without fighting back. Now, Robinson, where did he learn to do this? He learned to do this from Christ, because Jackie Robinson was a very strong follower of Jesus. And when he met with Branch Rickey, the first meeting, and Rickey told him this, that you can't fight back, Robinson had enough insight to the situation to see that Rickey was right, because if he did fight back, he would ruin it for black athletes past him. Now, because of Robinson's behavior, not fighting back, It also helped that he was a very good baseball player. He opened the door for black athletes in every sport, so that without Jackie Robinson, there would probably be no LeBron James, or Michael Jordan, or Kobe Bryant, or any African-American athlete you can think of today that plays professional sports. Jackie Robinson opened the door. And how did he open the door? He opened the door by, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That's how he opened the door. He opened the door because the kingdom of God was inside Jackie Robinson, and he had to live it. Being a Christian makes us different, guys. Part of our witness is that difference that people see. That's part of the witness that we have to people. And part of being different entails, how do we respond when someone wrongs us? We're to be like Christ. If we respond differently, people will notice, because they will see, hadn't seen that one before. Man, that's something. That he responded that way. I'm reading right now. I'm reading a book by it's a Chinese guy, Brother Yun. Maybe you've heard of him. I'm reading some of his teachings, not his biography. And he speaks in his teachings of forgiveness. And he has endured things that we would not endure. He was thrown in prison in China for his faith. And he says they tortured him. They beat him to the point that when his family came, they didn't even recognize him. They took needles and shoved the needles up under his fingernails. This is the kind of stuff they were doing to him. And he said God called him to forgive those men. And God used him in a powerful way, because the kingdom of God was in him, because he was different. I was reading yesterday, go from China to the Muslim world, a story. A man, his name is Sharif, he was a Muslim convert. When his father found out that he was a Muslim convert, his father tied him up in the backyard to a pole and beat him, and left him for dead. He wasn't dead. His mother said, you have to get out of here because your father's going to kill you. He fled for his life. But he kept reaching out to his father over the years. And his father noticed. And eventually, Sharif had the great pleasure of baptizing his father, the man who beat him, because he responded differently, and his father saw it. Guys, don't you see the lifestyle Jesus is talking about is about it's about peace in the midst of pain. It's about joy in the midst of suffering. It's about contentment. But you know what? It's also about missions. This is part of missions. I think of the ancient saying by Tertullian, second century Christian. You've probably heard the saying, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The kingdom of God spreads, not by bullets and not by armies, but by love through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how it spreads. Now, what I want to do is this. I want you to think about one person in your life who is, shall we say, difficult. someone who's difficult to live with, someone who is always criticizing you, someone who has done you wrong, someone who keeps doing you wrong, perhaps. And I want you to take a minute and write down one way that you can show kindness to that person. So I want you to put a name and a face and some specifics to it. So think of who that person is. I'm going to give you a minute to do this. So think who that person is. Write down one thing you can do to show kindness to this person who does not show you kindness. So just take a minute and do that right now. Margaret has pens if you would like one. I'm good. Okay, now all I want to do is close with prayer. I'm going to ask somebody else to lead us in prayer for this. Just pray that God will give us the strength to show this kindness to this person who has hurt us. And so, would anybody like to volunteer to close us in prayer? Okay, thank you, Elizabeth.
Lord God, we are so grateful that you have made the power of Christ available to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have given us a new nature, and that with your Holy Spirit, we are able to do that which goes against our natural nature. And so, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to help us to do the impossible on our own, that you would help us to love our enemies the way that you have loved us, and that you would go before us in helping us to act in love, to demonstrate love. That you would give us the strength and the courage to do so.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you that we can anticipate your goodness and your faithfulness as a result of our obedience to you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word this morning, and thank you that it is your great love for us. You are not asking us to do anything that Jesus didn't do already for us.
Yeah.
So we bless you and praise you. his name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So we'll get some lunch going and have lunch shortly.